Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 9 through 12. But concerning brotherly love, that's the Greek word Philadelphia, love for the family of God. Not but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God. The little phrase taught by God is one Greek word, and it means God taught, period. It's not taught by Him, it's just instinctively taught to God's people from inside. It cannot be taught with human words, cannot be taught from a book. It's God taught. You have no need that I write to you, for you yourselves are God taught to love one another. And indeed you do so towards all the brethren who are in all of Macedonia. But we encourage you, brethren, for you to increase more, that you to aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, or more literally, to concentrate on practicing your own things, and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you, the purpose for it all that you may walk properly towards those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. At the end of chapter 3, and you remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul was ministering to them about the testimony of Timothy. After Timothy had come back with a report, he was concerned about them. He had heard that they were stable in the things of the Lord, that they were keeping the faith. In verse 11 of chapter 3, his prayer for them was that God might direct him their way, and that the Lord might make them to increase and abound in love towards one another and to everyone, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness, that's the word for sanctification, before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. So chapter 4, as we began last week, shows, as Paul presents the testimony of Christ, how we are to live and what His testimony is towards us until His coming. We saw in verses 1 through 8, that He encourages the believers there, just like He does to us, for us to walk and to please the Lord. That ought to be the motive for everything that we do. It is a walk. It isn't a religious belief. It is a lifestyle. It is actually walking and doing the things the Lord would have us to do with an attitude and motive of doing what is pleasing in His sight. But He says, for you to know what God's will is for your life, and that is your sanctification. The word sanctification means to be set apart for God's purposes and God's use. So that when He saved us, He sanctified us. And based on this, He encouraged them to learn how to know, verse 4, how to possess His own vessel in sanctification and honor. My vessel is my physical body. And I'm to learn how to possess what God has given to me, what I've obtained from the Lord, in sanctification and in honor. That is, how to live my life to walk well-pleasing to Him in the separation that He has separated me for. And to live my life in honor to Him and in glory to His name. Not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this manner. What matter is that? Of his physical body. Everybody ought to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification, separation, and in honor. So not only am I to do this for myself, but I'm to do that for my brothers and sisters in Christ. How am I treating you? How am I leading you? Am I defrauding you and taking advantage of you by helping you to invade your sanctification and honoring your life and your body in the name of Jesus Christ? So I'm to know how to possess my own vessel in sanctification and honor, and also not defraud any of my brothers and sisters whose bodies belong to Christ. For God did not call us unto uncleanness, but to sanctification, verse 7. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but rejects God, who also has given unto us his Holy Spirit. That's interesting, because the word holy in the title, Holy Spirit, and the word sanctification come from the same Greek root word. It means to be set apart. If anybody rejects this as a truth in God, that every believer has been sanctified and I am to honor my sanctification as well as my brothers and sisters in Christ, I am not to violate my own nor theirs. If anybody rejects this, they have not rejected man, they've rejected God, who has given to us His Holy Spirit. That's what makes us sanctified. His sanctified Spirit, His set-apart Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has been given to everybody who believes. But now in verses 9 through 12, three things. He has mentioned it at the end of chapter 3. He has mentioned how we are to approach one another as sanctified and in the honor of Christ. But what's the motive? The motive, he says in verse 9, concerning brotherly love. Philadelphia. Phileo is love, and Adelphos is brother. It's the family love. It's the family kind of love. Just as we have brothers and sisters and mother and father and uncles and aunts and nieces and whatever, as that make up a physical family, so all of those in Christ make up a spiritual family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are to approach one another as family members, but concerning family love. You have no need that I write to you, for you yourselves are God-taught to love one another. Now the word love in the phrase love one another is agape, not philo. In our family love, we are to have agape love towards one another, just as God taught us. Not taught us through Bible study, not taught us through the study of Scriptures, though it carries that information for us. But the God-taught kind of love comes in being exposed to who God is and what He has done for us. If you hold your place, please, and turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. This is the same subject that John wrote about in 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love is not an action, love is a person. Just as peace is not a feeling, peace is a person. Christ is our peace. God's nature is love. When I am commanded to love you, it is not a humanitarianistic act. Please do not approach me and lay the trip on me and says to say, if you love me as a brother in Christ, you'll satisfy my flesh. No. You'll make me happy. No. I went through that when I was a kid. Accused my mother of not loving me because she didn't buy everything that I wanted her to buy for me. If you loved me, you'd buy it. See the toy fire truck? See the, you know, it's the whole thing. We've learned that. We're selfish. We accuse people of not loving us because they don't make us happy. For me to love you means that God says, I want you to share my spirit and my nature with other people. Agape is not satisfying people's wants. In fact, I have a definition I've given to you many times of the word agape. I've done an extensive research on the word, and we've heard all kinds of definitions, but I've come up with one. I might as well throw my 2 cents worth in. Agape love means to be concerned about someone's spiritual welfare. It fits every scripture. Every time you see the word, that definition fits. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." He was concerned about our spiritual welfare. He was not concerned whether He got rejected or not. He was not concerned that He got crucified. He saw our spiritual need, and that's why He came. Wouldn't that be something if we would have that in mind? It doesn't make any difference how we're treated. It doesn't make any difference how we feel as a person. It's whatever the spiritual need is, and do it and suffer the consequences in the joy of Christ. That's what love is. Love is sacrifice. I have to lay down my life to do what is necessary spiritually. I might get crucified for it, but I'm concerned about people's spiritual needs, not anything else. It also means that it might mean that I have to say no. Love is not always saying yes. If you have a spiritual need for me to say, no, I can't help you, then that's what I have to do. And I have to suffer the consequences for that too. That's what the Lord did. God is love. It is not human. It is spiritual. It comes from God. It comes from His very nature that lives inside of us. God has given us His Holy Spirit. Therefore, as a family of the Lord, we are to love one another. Now, that can't come through human teaching. It can't even come through Bible study. It's God taught. Because He is love. The more I fellowship with Him and the more I learn of His love, the more that love is developed in me. And you can't learn that in a Bible study. It's God taught. 1 John 4, God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's love. I wonder if we have that kind of sacrificial love where we say, you know, maybe your walk with the Lord needs encouragement through me. Maybe I need to lay down my life so that other people might receive Christ through me. The love of God was manifested in the act of God sending His Son that we might experience life through Him. We didn't ask Him, but we have that spiritual need. So it's sacrificial. And this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and as we celebrate communion together, we celebrate the expression of God's love. Why did He ask us to remember His death until He comes? Because it's based on His death that we're all saved. And He wants us to remember that act of love until He comes. He will never leave us or forsake us. His love will always provide for us. Look at the great expression of His love through the person of His Son. You think He's going to do that and then forsake us? No. In this is love, verse 10, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the substitution for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected, literally brought to completion in us, in its purpose. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. You see, again, I know that I belong to Christ because He's given me His Spirit. And it is the nature of His Spirit to cause me to be concerned about people's spiritual welfare. To the point that I'm willing to lay down my life for Christ and for others. For the spiritual need and for the spiritual benefit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected. Not it should be, it already has. When Christ comes into our hearts, His love and His purposes have been made complete. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love, that is love that has been brought to maturity, casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God also loves his brother. You see the word must? If you have must in italics in your text, it is not in the original. It says the one who loves God does love his brother. Not he must or should, he already does. That's the evident. What is the evidence that God has given me his Spirit? There is a fruit or an evidence in my life. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. It's love. Not Peter Pan kind of love. Not emotional, mushy kind of love. Not the kind of love that tries to satisfy everybody and compromise to be everybody's friend. It's the kind of love that is concerned about people's spiritual welfare. To the point that I'm willing to lay down my own life, that is, sacrifice everything that I want in life in order to be used of the Lord for the spiritual need. But it also means not only laying down of my life, that would be the voluntarily giving up of my life, but it also means receiving the persecution or receiving whatever consequences will come for being obedient to the love of God. He loved me first. He manifested his love to me first when he sent his Son. The more I fellowship with him and realize that his approach towards me is love because he is love, the more his love is perfected in me. You can't learn that from a Bible study or from church. It comes from being taught inside. It comes from being exposed to the very love of God. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are God-taught to love, that is agape, one another. And indeed you do, towards all the brothers who are in Macedonia. But we encourage you, brethren. There are four encouragements in the Greek text. So the motive is love. What are we to do out of love? Four things. First of all, that we increase more. We need to increase in the love of God. We need that motive more and more in what we do, and that comes by being more and more exposed to his love and exposed to him. So the first thing is to increase more. Even though they already have a spiritual concern for all the Christians in Macedonia, not just in their little town, but for all Christians. He says, increase more. Secondly, that you aspire to lead a quiet life. The word aspire in Greek has to do with priorities, striving for priorities. Do you have a priority in your life that you strive for? Strive to perfect. You want to put all your effort into perfecting something. That's what this word means. It means to strive, to perfect, to lead a quiet life. A quiet life, not wanting to be seen or heard, at least from an ambitious standpoint. If God wants to use us, that's one thing. But I want to lead a quiet life. I don't want to be out front. I don't want to make a lot of noise. I don't want to draw attention to myself. I just want to lead a quiet life and a peaceful life with everyone. Thirdly, to mind your own business. That's the blunt translation. It literally means to practice your own things. Sometimes we get carried away with love. We want to love other people so much that we become busybodies. We're involved in everybody's business. According to this text, it's a full-time job just to take care of my own affairs here. My own lifestyle. to practice your own things. Pay attention to what you're doing, your walk with the Lord. It's a full-time job. You want to love other people? Make sure your own house is in order. 100%. To lead a quiet life. You want to love your brothers and sisters? Lead a quiet life. Peaceful life. Be on a road that you're not trying to perfect legalism or religion, but you're trying to increase more and more in the love of Christ. You want to care more for people and their spiritual welfare. And fourthly, to work with your own hands. Just like we have the problem today, where many Christians don't like to work. Work with your own hands. In Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, Paul talked about this. He called the person who does not do this, he calls them a klepto. That's the Greek word. A person is a thief, a kleptomaniac, if they're not working with their own hands. And he said to provide for two things. Number one, for himself, that is his own household. And number two, for the household of God. Do you know there are two families to support? You think you have a hard time just supporting what's under your roof? Guess what? There's two families involved. And he says if you're not helping in the financial need of both, you're a klepto. You're stealing. You're a thief. Book of Malachi, God says you have not brought your tithes into God's house. You're a thief. You've robbed God. Paul says, work with your own hands. Labor. Now, all these four things are for one reason. We have the motive, which is love. I care about people's spiritual welfare. Therefore, I want to grow in God's love and His influence over me. Secondly, because of the motive of love, I want to lead a quiet life. Thirdly, I want to spend full time keeping my own house in order and making sure that I'm not a stumbling block to anyone and making sure that I am an encouragement to the things of Christ. I want to work with my own hands. And this is all for the purpose, verse 12, two things. That you may walk properly towards those who are outside, that is outside of the body of Christ. The word properly literally means to be well-pleasing, acceptable. So that no one outside of the body of Christ, there will be no non-believers that can point and say, well, these people are bums. They don't work. They don't care about each other. So as to show the love of Christ and have that love of Christ manifested in us to the people without. So no one outside the body of Christ can point their finger at us and have there be any blame for them not coming to the things of the Lord. But also so that it might be well-pleasing or properly acceptable towards those that are outside. But the second reason is that you may lack nothing. Those who are mature in the things of Christ and the love of Christ, there's no lack in the body of Christ. I don't know if you know that or not. Do you know that there are no needs in the body of Christ that God has not already provided for? Our problem is just caring and being sensitive to one another. See, I don't know if you know it or not, but what is mine is mine. I might share it. But God creates needs in the body of Christ. Caring about someone's spiritual welfare also involves physical things, like James says. If you see your brother and sister in need, they need clothing, they need food, whatever the case may be. The things of necessity in life, not their wants, but the needs. If there's a need in the body of Christ has already been given the provision to take care of it. It's just that we're just so wrapped up in our own little world. There should be no needs. The Lord creates the need. The body of Christ responds out of love. It's as simple as that. But we're so caught up in ourselves. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, before he died, he said to his disciples, All men shall know that you are my disciples by your love. Not your love towards them. See, we have it wrong when we think that expressing love to non-Christians, whatever we consider love to be, is how they get won over to Christ. No, it's our love towards one another. It's how God's people treat themselves. So those are without look and they say, wow, look at the love they have. They really care about each other. They care about their walk with the Lord. They care about their life. There's no need in the body of Christ. That encourages them. Jesus said, everybody's going to know you're my disciple by your love. Not selfishness, not rebellion, not refusing to work. I'm to work with my own hands to provide for my need and for the others. You see, my family is my immediate family, my physical family. But my little family is involved in the big family of God. I'm responsible for two families. My own personal and for the body of Christ. Anything less, I'm a thief. This love is to be increased. That's why Paul says, oh, I pray that your love will increase more. That you'll know God's love for you. And that will inspire you to care for one another. See how Jesus laid down His life for you? You're to lay down your life for each other. You see how His death, His sacrifice provided for your spiritual need? So Christ through you is to provide for the spiritual need of others. That's how He would have us to remember Him. That's the whole purpose for it all. That's the whole motivation for it all. It's not our love, it's God's love. We're celebrating His love. We flow in His love. We receive His love. As we care about one another. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, we pray that You'd help us. Help us to see that belonging to Jesus Christ is not a religion. It's a life. That You have expressed Yourself through Your Son and Your love to us. And now Your love abides inside of us. Causing us to be concerned, first of all, about the Lord. Loving the Lord with all of our hearts. Being concerned about what He thinks. To walk and to please Him. And secondly, to love our neighbor as ourselves. To be sensitive to the spiritual needs of those around us. Looking to the Lord, saying, Lord, use me. Lord, what can I do? I know it means sacrifice. I know it means denial of myself. I know it means presenting myself as a living sacrifice. I know it means consequences. I know it means persecution. I know it means suffering. The writer of Hebrews chapter 12 says that if we ever grow weary and discouraged in our souls, we're to look to Christ, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, in order that He might provide life for us. May we be encouraged by the fact that there must be death in order to produce life. There must be a denial of self in order to be in service to Christ. Lord, give us a willing heart to serve You, to serve one another, in the love that comes from Your Spirit, not the human effort. May we remember that love today. May it inspire us. May it change and transform our lives as we remember Jesus this morning. For it's in His name we pray.